Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Testing the Experts.
Hello, and welcome to Testing the Experts, presented by Confirmatrix Laboratory, where we're accurate, rapid, and consistent. I'm Tracy McDaniel, alongside Wes Warrington, my co-host for the show. Today, we are bringing you Kevin Short and Dana Ryder, the co-founders of Real Recovery, as well as Kelly Muzell, playing a dual role, one with Georgia Area Recovery, as well as one-stop court intervention services. Before we dive into that, I just want to check in with our co-host, Wes, here, and he's the CEO of Confirmatrix Laboratory. How are you, Wes?
I'm good, Tracy. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
That's good. We have a great show in store today. Tracy's orchestrated the whole thing. You always ask me, I kind of jumped the gun on this one, what's going on at Confirmatrix? I assume that was your next question.
Maybe.
We've had another really good week. As I've said before, we have new instruments going in, so it's been kind of crazy busy. This morning we had guests from really both sides of our business, the drug and alcohol treatment world and then the medicine or pain management world. And I think it was a good mix of two different worlds, and the guys that are here with us today are going to share some of the stories they have about working with Confirmatrix. They were very helpful in sharing some of those stories with these other guys and helped us out there, so thank you for that. Again, I'm really excited about this this show today. I have a new guest that I haven't met yet, and I'm anxious to hear what he has. And these two guys from Real Recovery I've just met, and I got a feeling we're a lot alike, and we're going to have a good time today. So I'm excited about it, Tracy.
Absolutely. We also have one of our collectors from Asheville with us, and we have Bryce Grogan with us as well, and Dr. David Silverstein. They're kind of sitting back listening to the fun, and they might get in on some of the action here. So we're happy to have you guys as well. First, I'd like to formally introduce Kelly Muzell. He's the president of Georgia Association of Recovery Residents, as well as a recovery consultant for One Stop. It's a court intervention service. And thank you for taking a minute out of your Friday, and we're really happy to have you here with us.
Great to be here. Looking forward to this.
Great. And we're looking forward to learning a little bit about what you do. And let's start first, since you are here for a dual role. What is the Georgia Association of Recovery Residents, and what do you do there?
Sure. The mission of GAR, as we call it, is to help recovery residences provide the best services we can for people who are trying to get well with substance abuse disorders. In the state of Georgia, there is no oversight for recovery residences. Anyone can open one up and hang a shingle out front. So what we have instituted, we started back in 1987, are standards for running a recovery residence. So it's a voluntary organization. We have about 70 members currently, and what it does is it provides a resource for people who are looking for recovery residences to know that anyone that is a GAR member is upholding the standards that are set forth by the board.
Okay, and this covers the entire state of Georgia, correct?
It does.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so when people come to you and they want to be a part of GAR, what actions must they take? I'm sure your standards are very high.
Absolutely. What we do is we have a membership application, but on our website we also have all of the standards, and we ask them to go through and make sure that they're meeting the standards for safety, staffing, programming, all of the things that someone who's trying to get well would need in a program. To run through that, make sure that they are meeting those standards. If they have any questions, our goal is to help them to meet the standards. We're not trying to keep people out. We're trying to help people provide the programs necessary to help people get better.
Absolutely. So it seems like when they come to you, they're coming for kind of a checkup, and they're coming to make sure that they're meeting the standards that you're hoping that you're putting out there. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And all of our members have to be recertified every 2 years. So it's an on-site visit by our standard members to make sure that programs are maintaining standards along the way.
And what does it mean to them to have this certification? Why would they seek it, I guess?
I think most people who are members are seeking it because they want to provide the best services they can for people in early recovery. That's the population we're serving, are people who many have come out of an inpatient treatment program, or they're just starting getting into recovery and they need the accountability and the support. So people want to serve our clients the best way we can.
Okay, and I know you said that GAR started in 1987. When did you come to GAR and how did you become involved?
About 6 years ago, I moved to Georgia to be the program director of a recovery residence. My background was in higher education, and I didn't know a lot professionally about the recovery world, so I wanted to learn as much as I could, and one way was to get involved with GAR. GAR does bi-monthly trainings, but it's also a very collaborative network of people who are willing to answer any question you have. No question is too dumb to ask, you know, from should we allow clients to take naps or how do we screen clients? All of those questions members are ready to help you out with. So that's why I got involved, and I can't say no to things. So when they asked me to get involved, I started helping out, and I ended up being elected president this last go around. So
okay, and it's volunteer. You said
it's
all volunteer.
All volunteer.
So how does a volunteer, you know, come to you, and how do they become a part of the organization?
Most people find us through the website. The website is www.garonline.org. And there is the membership application online, but we also encourage people just to attend our meetings. We meet bi-monthly. It's an open meeting. And then we have trainings in the afternoon. So, for example, next week for April, our training is on ethics of working in the field of addiction treatment and recovery residences. So it's open to the general public. So anyone can come and learn more about GAR and also get 3 CEU credits for ethics.
That's April 1st, correct?
April 1st, yes.
I will be there, actually.
excellent.
I'm excited about it. So, and I wanted to ask you also, if someone's seeking a recovery resident within the state, are there resources on your website that can be found?
There are. People can search our website. There's a members page, and it has all of our members listed along with what area in the state they are, what population they serve. Some programs serve men only, some serve women only, some serve co-ed. It's available. Also, we have a quick one-page sheet where people can print that off, and it's got the basic information, the name, and how to call or contact someone.
Okay. So, you know, you said you've set standards, you have an application, you know, they have to go through the process. What are you finding is maybe the hardest thing for them to overcome versus possibly the easiest thing? Or is it just kind of a wide variety of things that you're seeing?
The clients or the members?
The clients.
The clients. I think the hardest thing is that recovery asks us to change everything about us, our places, our friends, and our actions and behaviors. So that's really hard for clients. And finding a program that helps them, that is safe and supportive, and that staff know what they're doing is important. If recovery were easy, anyone could do it.
Right.
And it's not. It's tough. And finding a place that cares about you, that's going to help you through this process, is important. And at least by going through the GAR program, people know that it's a thoughtful program that's there to help them.
Absolutely. And so if you're in, if you know, if you're thinking about recovery, it's a kind of a great resource that you can go there. And it's a one-stop shop almost to get a variety of different options for what might work well, correct?
Absolutely. There are a plethora of programs out there that serve different needs or provide different interests. If you're looking for one that's a secular-based versus a Christian-based program, that's on our website. If you're looking for co-ed or gender-specific, and really different levels of care, because people are coming at this with different needs. So some need greater structure, some need a little looser structure to make their recovery work for them.
Absolutely. I just want to remind everyone, you're listening to Testing the Experts, presented by ConfirmMatrix Laboratory, where we're accurate, rapid, and consistent. And I'm speaking with Kelly Muzel. I'm saying that correctly, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we're talking about the Georgia area of recovery residents. We've talked a little bit about, you know, you can go to GARR, GARR online.org to get some more information about the program. And in layman's terms, it seems like you can go there, you can explore resources, you can figure out what programs might fit best for you within the state of Georgia. But with that being said, you know, Kelly is, you know, multifaceted. He's talked about his educational background, and he's talked about how he came to the state of Georgia, and now he's president of GAR. But he also has, he's involved with the program One Stop. And I want you to explain that a little bit more for our listeners.
Sure. One Stop Court Intervention Services is actually a multifaceted program that offers DUI assessments, court evaluations, intensive outpatient programs, and we also have a residential program. I actually serve as the program director for the residential program, and that is a 12 to 15 month residential program that provides about 10 hours of group per week, plus individual counseling, and part of the treatment plan, our clients work, go to school, or volunteer for approximately 30 to 40 hours a week.
Wow. Okay. So that is basically, just so I understand a little bit more, did they get in trouble and they're there and you're coming to, you know, kind of put them on their path and try to, you know, help them?
Yep. It's not a requirement that someone comes in with legal challenges, but most of our clients do. May come to us because they're facing trial and they're trying to be proactive and get things together, or they come to us because they've been mandated through the court systems. Governor Deal actually has really taken on the notion of getting people out of the prison systems and into treatment if addiction is the challenge. So we are providing services to help people deal with a health issue and not a moral issue.
Absolutely. So you have Governor Deal support in, you know, one stop in what you're doing?
I don't want to say that Governor Deal is endorsing One Stop, but he's endorsing the notion that people who need treatment do not belong in prisons.
Absolutely. I mean, it says a lot that someone will step up and, you know, he's trying to guide it in a different direction, if you will. And so he's not just sticking him in our prison system and saying, this is where you belong. They're trying to actually rehab the person.
Absolutely. You know, he's started a new office that works out of his office for reentry to get people to help them with finding jobs, housing, treatment, those sort of things. Because if we just set someone free out of prison with no support, they usually go back to what they know.
Right.
So I really think the governor's done a great job in tackling this specific issue in trying to make a big change in how we look at parolees and probationers and providing them with much more support.
And I know you had mentioned that One Stop is very multifaceted, just as recovery is multifaceted.
Absolutely.
And I think, you know, everyone has, you know, has their own way to do it and their own, you know, direction. And it's hard, I'm sure, when they come, you know, to you and you have to kind of say, okay, where, you know, you're thinking, I'm sure, where's their fit going to be? And are you seeing that, you know, as a challenge, or is it? I think it's a challenge that you like to take on, it seems.
It is. It is a challenge, but it's about doing assessments and really finding the right resources for the client, because I don't want to contribute to failure for the client. I want to help them be successful by getting them in the right supportive environment. And sometimes, even though we offer a lot of services at One Stop, we may not be the right fit for everyone. And that's the wonderful thing about GAR as well, is we can refer them to the GAR resources and say, look, this may not be right for you, but there is a program that is right for you.
So you continue with the hope that, you know, we understand that maybe One Stop isn't where you're going to, you know, be, but we have other resources for you as well.
Absolutely.
Right. Now, I do want you to share, and I'm putting you on the spot here,
sure,
a success story, someone that you've seen through GAR or One Stop, just someone that you, or both even, because it sounds like, you know, they go hand in hand for sure. Is there a success story that just, you know, you're proud of and you want to share with our listeners?
I'm going to share a story about a client who graduated Monday evening from One Stop. He was with us for 12 months. He was mandated through the prison systems. He's 28 years old, and he had about 40 arrests in his lifetime so far. Opiate addict, came to us not believing that recovery could work. In fact, shortly after arriving with us, he went home on a therapeutic leave, and his mother and father had to drag him out of the bathroom unconscious, and he was actually dead. The father revived him. After some intense intervention, he came back to our program and did his 12 months, graduated. He has a job. He has an apartment. He has a sponsor. He's been accepted into college and is starting in the fall, and he has great optimism for his future, a far cry from where he was 12 months before. And that's personally why I do the work that I do, is when someone gets it and they turn their life around and they work a program of recovery, that's the beauty in it.
Right. Finding their role and their self again. And, you know, that gives me chills just listening to it. And I can tell I'm sure you had many other success stories, but that's a fresh one. Monday night. Wow. Well, we're very proud of the work you do, and we're proud to be around you and let you share that. And
thank you.
I just want to say that, you know, Kelly Muzell, he's the president of Georgia Association of Recovery Residents, but also we discussed the One Stop Court Intervention Services. They can go hand in hand, and it seems like you're bringing it home for people in recovery, and we want to thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. All right. Now we will head on to Kevin Short and Dana Ryder. They're the co-founders of Real Recovery in Asheville, North Carolina, with us today. Asheville's a beautiful place, and we bring you to Georgia, and it's dreary and rainy today.
Horrible. We want to go back to the mountains.
I'm sure. Nonetheless, we're happy that you're here, and they toured the lab earlier. They do work with Confirmatrix. We're not going to hide that, and we're happy that they're here with us today. So thank you for coming.
Sure. Glad to be here.
Good.
What'd you guys think about the lab?
You know, I've never been to a lab before. You know, we've dealt with lab companies now for several years. And, you know, you dream up in your mind what it's kind of like. You have all these visions. You don't really know what to expect. And I think the most overwhelming part for me, I think for all of us, I can speak for all of us, we're pretty close. We always think the same things. But, you know, it's hard to trust this pie in the sky place that you send these drug tests to that you don't really know anything about. Especially in this business, you know, all my clients are just like me, and I'm not coming off of any dirty drug test. I'm
ever
taking that lie to the grave. So, you know, we get really close with our clients. So it gets really difficult when one really digs their heels in and says, listen, that's a false positive. You know, so it's really difficult to trust. So it was hugely important for us because we are zero tolerance, you know, period. I believe one chance, two chance, three chances kills kids. Literally, I've seen it with my own eyes. So to come here and put eyes on your lab, to really understand the procedure and all the different checks and balances that happen in your lab, I was amazed with. And it just really, truly gave us, and believe me, you know, the people that know us, we don't placate for anybody. We lay it down just like it is, no matter where we are or who we're with. And it's truly awesome. I mean, I was really impressed, and it really gives us the, you know, the ability to trust where we're sending this stuff, so that when we have a situation like that, we're able to stand firm and know what we're talking about. So it was good, man. Really awesome. Really impressed.
Good. Cool. That's really good to hear. Thank you for sharing that feedback. So you guys came here to talk about your business some. Tell us a little bit about Real Recovery.
Well, yeah, man. First, I wanted to tell Kelly that, you know, I appreciate your efforts, man. You know, there's not enough of us in the world, man. And it's clear just looking in your eyes that you're in this for the right reasons. You know what I'm saying? And Real Recovery started for that same purpose, you know. And I'll try not to choke up on this radio when I talk about addiction. You know, I'm a recovering addict myself, as is Dana, as is Justin and Kurt and Zach and all the guys that own Real Recovery now. But I get emotional talking about it. We're passionate about what we do, you know. Like I said, we're recovering addicts, and this vision sort of hatched in my mind somewhere along the way, and I don't really know where, but you know, it was only less than a decade ago that I was sitting in another crappy halfway house, sitting on the front porch, smoking cigarettes with an 80-year-old dude that built birdhouses in the backyard and would sell them every weekend. And I remember looking over at the guy. I'll never forget this dude, and I couldn't stand him. But anyways, he ended up probably saving my life. But I remember looking over at him, and he's smoking a cigarette, and the ash was about 6 inches long on this thing. And it's just, I remember thinking to myself, if I didn't get back to Asheville, where we're from, start doing my 12-step work, and start helping other human beings, that I was going to be 80 years old sitting on a front porch of a crappy halfway house just like this guy. And I had stayed in probably 15 or 20 halfway houses, literally bouncing in and out, in and out, in and out, trying to get sober since I was 24 years old. And that was kind of Dana's experience too. But I knew there was a better way to do this. And, you know, the reason that Kelly's here is because the aftercare and recovery residence industry in this world is a complete damn disaster. It's truly a disaster. It is, there are no checks and balances for most of the states in this union. So just like he said, any fool can open a halfway house, can lease a home, throw out a sign and start having guys move in. The problem is everybody's good at putting up websites. 99% of people in this industry say a lot of things, and half of those do close to what they say they do. So that was our experience, and I think it's about every addict's experience that's ever been through that process. So there aren't enough regulatory services for sure, but we wanted to open something that never has existed anywhere before, and we're pretty proud of what we do. We're biased, but we do this better than anybody in the world, and that's just the truth. And it's not because we're brilliant, I assure you. It's not because we're just amazing human beings. It's quite the opposite, because we take a common sense approach, and we use our experience to do what we do. We do things out of fun, and we do things out of love. But, you know, I met Dana up in Asheville, getting sober, picking up guys at other halfway houses, taking them to go do fun stuff that those places didn't really provide. And Dana and I hated each other.
Couldn't stand them.
Oh, yeah. Well, we were both alpha males. We hated each other right off a gate, and it's just kind of that's the way it was. But, of course, you know, once we got past ourselves and got past our egos, we fell in love with each other. Good bromance.
Yeah, we've been married ever since. Just kidding.
So, you do act like you're married.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what our girlfriends tell us, too. So,
well,
fiance, sorry, babe. I know you're listening at home.
A quick little funny story about that, you know, because we would call each other partners, mm-hmm. you know, because we were business partners.
Oh, yeah. So, that caused some issues in Asheville, for sure.
Yeah, so there was a few of the parents, and, you know, and they would go home after visiting the house, and they'd be like, they're so cute together, you know, because we'd be over here cutting up and punching each other in the ribs. And
maybe in a different life.
Really. Yeah.
Or the next one. But anyway.
We're not opposed.
No. So, you know, we had a same passion, man. I really fell in love with this dude because he's one of the most infectious human beings I'd ever met in my life. And I don't want to say that I had this crazy burning bush experience, because some people go, that's really not true. But it really was that way. I knew what my vision was. I knew that we had to create a place that was non-institutional, that felt like a home, that was truly a family, that was a flipping blast. Here's the thing. The age group that we deal with, which is 18 to 28, if you don't show these guys a life that blows their mind sober, you're never going to keep them. This is a young, vibrant age group. I'm 38, and I'm the oldest, fattest guy that has anything to do with this place. And you know what? I'm really the biggest kid. So we're a young, group of recovering addicts. Most of us are all therapists, so we're an educated, young, vibrant group of dudes that love our lives sober. So what this place was really supposed to be is us showing these guys how to do this, not from an ivory tower. We're not just therapists that don't have a clue what goes on. We're dudes that sit right next to these guys every step of the way. We live with these guys. We do everything with these guys. We are truly a family. So, excuse me. So Dana and I hatched it. Well, I hatched this plan, and I was driving down with Dana to Hickory and to visit my mom. And I was like, dude, I'm going to open a halfway house. And he was like,
okay,
cool. Yeah. He didn't believe sure. a thing I was saying. He's like, oh yeah, cool. All right. So, long story, we met each other helping each other, and it's kind of our story's on the website, but we didn't really know each other, but we just met each other being helpful to each other. And but so he was working for a great wilderness place, Wilderness Recovery Center up in Asheville. He was on a week, off a week, and basically he did a double, then had to go home, and yada, yada, yada. Long story short, after about 30 days later, I had leased a house, just like what you're talking about, leased this huge, beautiful home. We didn't have enough sense to be scared. We had nothing to lose. We were literally going to sell our cheap, crappy cars and do this if we had to. But we talked some fool out of giving us about $15,000. We leased this house. My father owns a furniture business. He's been lucky enough to give us terms of forever till we could pay him back. We filled this place, and we had this. We looked at each other, and all of a sudden, it was just me and him and another kid, Zach, who is now a part owner of this business. And this place had an indoor pool in it. I mean, it was ridiculous. We're looking at each other like, how in the hell does this even happen?
And how are we going to fill this place?
Yeah. Well, yeah. And so, and we didn't even really know. Like I said, we truly didn't have enough sense to be scared, which is really, I think, created the magic of this place, because we never care. We don't apologize for anything, period. We do things the way we know them to be right. And if you don't like it, we don't care. The people that come to us are real mothers that find our website, call me on the phone crying before I've ever even spoken to them because they found our website, and go, thank God y'all exist. There's a place that actually cares, that's non-institutional, that's a family place. We deal with several treatment centers around the country, but a lot of places don't get us for a lot of reasons. But one of them is, we'll take our clients out to go watch bands play till 2 a.m. But we show them how to do that sober. So people that don't understand that, because we're such outliers, we're so far from the norm, but we do this the right way. These kids love being here. Literally more than 8 out of 10 kids that show up at our door leave a year later dead sober. He's talking about one of these success stories. We've got hundreds of real kids that came here broke, dying heroin addicts. We've got them in law school at Carolina, well, all over the country doing amazing things. And it's really based in fun and love, man. It's a fun, amazing environment with gorgeous, beautiful homes. And it's cool, man. It's a highly structured place in a casual environment. So right. I know that's all over the place. I'm ADD. I scatter. Right. Awesome. I'm everywhere with it.
That is awesome.
I think you get that from the website. And I just want to mention that, because I'm sure everyone, you're painting this picture, and I had to go to the website to look at it as well. It's myrealrecovery.com, correct?
Right. Yep.
Okay. And that's where you're, you can go there and you can see the homes, and they're not selling you short by saying they're beautiful homes and it's a beautiful setting. And, we had discussed the website earlier, and I'm excited about it. I can see a mom finding that, and especially for the age range that you're targeting. I mean, it's perfect.
Well, yeah.
And it's kind of like, okay, this is where they need to be. And it's obvious. You can portray that just through a computer screen, but it is.
Well, it's wild. You know, it's the way that it's supposed to be done. And it's really, this is a business network. So from a business standpoint, it's unbelievable. We stay full. We don't have a demand issue. We do no marketing, zero. We don't go out and visit treatment centers. We do nothing, because literally nobody else gets it. It's such a sad, sad thing. It's great for us as a business, but that ain't why we do this. We really don't. We don't do this for the money. Two things we decided when we opened this place. The first one was, we're zero tolerance. You get high, you leave. And we have a relapse plan that I'll talk about that nobody else in the country does either. But the other one is that we make no decisions based on money. Zero. Since we made those two decisions, we've had all the money we could ever need. And that's just the truth. When you start making decisions based on money in this industry, that's when your ethics go to hell and everything about your program goes to shit. Excuse me for that one. But it's just really
it
the there, truth, you know?
It's we knew
really
it was
the
coming.
Truth.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, it's the truth.
5 minutes in.
Oh yeah. Hey, it was one of the lesser bad ones, I guess. But anyways, it's really the truth, man. You know, and it's hard not to speak about this stuff passionately because kids really die. I mean, that's the truth. Kids absolutely go into bathrooms all over this country and never come back out. And you know what? I was one of those kids, and so was Dana, mm-hmm. and so was everybody that had anything to do with this place. But it makes so much sense. We use our common sense to love these kids back and into amazing life. We help them through every single part of their lives. We help them learn what it means to find jobs, keep jobs before quitting one. You know, don't quit one before you find another one. We help them get into school, help them with financial aid. We help them do resumes. We help them through the steps. We literally, these kids need a lot of hand-holding. Most of our guys don't have life skills. The idea that they can go into normal halfway houses, which are basically generally glorified rooms for rent with a little bit of pizzazz, a 19-year-old kid goes in there. They're supposed to be out of the house from 9 to 4 every day, ride a bus on a bus line they know nothing about, in a town they know nothing about, with some of the most unsavory characters in the town. They're supposed to find a job on that bus line, go to meetings, get a sponsor, create a network of friends. Basically, we're asking these 19-year-old kids, most of which have been using for 4 years, that have the emotional immaturity of a 15-year-old, to conquer the world sober with 30 days. It's insanity. No wonder it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. So, yeah, we hold their hands, but we do it in a wolf pack-type family environment. We're really not viewed as the owners and staff. I mean, we are. They listen to us, but that's just because we look tough. But really, we're really just the alpha males of the wolf pack, man. They love us and respect us because we do the same things that they do, and they know that we love and respect those guys. We're not ego-tripping house managers with 6 months sober that get free rent to live here. This is our whole life, man, and that's why we have so much success, and that's why mamas love us, you know, because their babies come here and they leave sober, you know. So there's another rant.
That's a big gift. So tell me a little bit about the daily life at Real Recovery. You mentioned a lot of things about the change and big picture stuff, but what does a day look like? For the residents, of course.
Well,
not you guys.
We goof off all day.
Well, not the armadillos.
Everyone usually gets up around noon, okay? Then we watch cartoons for about an hour.
Okay.
No,
sounds really loving and...
yeah. No, we actually, you know, during the week and on the weekends, every day, 7 days a week, we have morning meditation. And that's, you know, every morning at 8:30. And, you know, what we do is we usually read like a little devotional and then we kind of share on it. And everyone goes around and we set goals for the day. You know, we kind of tell the rest of the crew, like, you know, what we're going to do for the day. You know, I'm going to go fill out some job applications. I'm going to go down to, you know, the animal shelter and volunteer, you know, whatever. And that kind of sets the pace for the day, you know, and so everyone's kind of on the same page. And then we break off and clean the house, and then kind of everyone goes their separate ways. Some of our guys work. Some of our guys are full-time students. Some of our guys volunteer. So some of our guys, you know, end up working for us too.
Yeah,
so.
And that morning med is really – you know, it talks about in a book that I'm not allowed to talk about on here, but it talks about planning our day with God. And we wake up in the morning, and it helps us to not start our day in chaos, even if it's just for a second. Let's set ourselves up to not just launch out into the world sporadically, not knowing where we're going or what we're doing. It also allows us, you know, we always boast we're highly structured in a casual environment, meaning, you know, the people that employ all these institutional rules, and we have rules, but we don't post them on the wall, number one. We don't have chore lists on the walls or dry erase boards or any of that crap that makes a home feel like an institution. But institutional rules and the inability to bend rules are things that programs put into place to maintain order. Instead of people. You know, there's 10 of us that work here every day of the week, all day, every day and night. The joke is when you work for Real Recovery, you get paid for your life. If you don't believe us, ask our girlfriends. They'll tell you. They don't see us. And that's just part of the gig. But there's 10 of us here, so that's one to almost every two clients. The reason we do that is so that we can have that structure without having to feel institutional. We know these guys so intimately. If we're ever accused of anything, it's having transference or counter-transference between our clients. Well, you know what? Who gives a damn? That's the only way we can help these kids, if they love us and we love them back. So with that being said, you know, yeah, we know where our clients are 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. one of us always knows where every single client is every minute of every day. Morning meditation is the first piece of it. Mm-hmm. That's what allows us to know where they're supposed to be. You know what I mean? So, yeah, go on.
So, yeah, very important part of the day.
Yeah.
And I think it's a game changer when you actually verbalize and you vocalize what you're going to do.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's the accountability.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
And
because you've said it. That's in your own words, not mine.
Right. Yeah.
And so, you know, people, you know, kind of go their separate ways throughout the day. I might be taking the guys to, you know, go to a waterfall or do a hike or do some climbing or, you know, some random outdoor activity that we love to do in Asheville. So, yeah, we kind of split up. And then, you know, around dinner time, we all kind of get together. A bunch of guys cook. Some guys go out. And, you know, we hit up a meeting every day, every night around 7. At the end of the day, 10:30 every night, we have, you know, kind of – it's our wind down. That's what we call it. And that's kind of
– right out of the book that we also can't mention. It's a 10-step. You know?
It's an anonymous book. But, yeah, so that's when we all get together at the end of the day and, you know, we kind of touch base with, you know, our goals. You know, we touch base with the, you know, the morning meditation that we had. And, you know, did we do what we said we were going to do? You know, or how did everything go? Do you have any issues with anyone in the house? And, you know, it's really a lot of fun because, you know, some guys that were working all day didn't get to see each other. It's those are the two times when every single person in the house are together at the same time.
So. Yeah, and it's good. You know, it's also – that's our daily 10th step, really. Do we have any amends to make to anybody? Did we step out of line? Where were we selfish today, self-seeking? But it really is, you know, a place for us to gather, goof off, laugh, cut up with each other, talk about what we did today. And the idea is that no one ever in our home goes to sleep mad at each other, mm-hmm. period. We are truly a family. Nobody starts the – we start every day fresh, man. No beef lasts through the night ever. So it's just a place for us to gather up, goof off, you know. Throughout that day, you know, it's always hard to say. Each one of these kids have to have life balance. Every kid that's ever come here is different in so many different ways. So, you know, because we're so close with these clients, we make all those decisions based on our gut. And, you know, meaning one kid that's been here for a month, he loves to work. He dives himself into work and hides in his work. We may have to reel him back some and say, dude, you're working too much, man. You're missing our activities. You're not being able to make it to meetings. We have other kids that we got to rock out of bed with cups of ice water. Just kidding, but seriously. Anyways, so then we got stuff like that that goes. So every kid's so different. So we really have to have these guys catch a life balance. So every person's day looks a little bit different, meaning life balance the first month here is a whole lot different than life balance their 11th month here. You know, that first month here, they need to be getting settled in and going with us to waterfalls and getting coffee. We just want them to start to feel like they're at home and that they're, you know, they wake up every morning and they know where they are and they're not scared and fearful. Their 11th month here, they're working full time in school and volunteering and sponsoring guys. So everybody's day looks a little different.
It's more personalized, yeah.
Well, yeah, and daily throughout those days, you know, we have a lot of therapy. We do a lot of individual therapy with outside therapists, PhD level, and they also do therapy with us. Our therapy sessions generally happen on the top of waterfalls or on tee boxes. So we do that stuff out in the real world where kids actually listen. We teach life skills in the real world, not in a classroom where they pull their cell phones out and ignore everything you say, you know. So, but yeah, so that's kind of a snapshot in the day.
That's great. That's a great day. So one question for you guys. Do most of your patients come from the streets, from treatment centers?
That's a great question, man. You know, when we first started this thing, the idea was, hey, we're going to go hit all these treatment centers, and we're going to tell them how great we are, and they're going to send us all their clients. We have some of that for sure. It's probably 50-50. We ain't big on statistics. We don't really care. I don't really know what the number is, but I'd say 60% of the people that we get our mother, because we're so structured, we have a medical doctor on staff. We work very closely with psychiatrists. We're all therapists. We have a therapist that's our clinical supervisor. We're so structured and we have such a grip on our population. We can take clients with 2 days sober, 3 days sober, where other places really couldn't do that. Because we have such a handle on this, you know, they can meet with our doctor and make sure that they're okay, number one, first and foremost. We can make sure that they don't need to go to a detox. If they need to go to a detox, obviously, that's where we'll send them. But if those issues aren't there, because we do so much therapy, because we are so tight and have such a handle on this population, some of our biggest successes ever have shown up at our place with 3 or 4 days sober. So we do get a lot that come from treatment centers with 28 days or 90 days or 6 months. But we also get some guys that moms call us, they find our website, and they just literally break down in tears and are like, this is where my son has to be. And because we're so structured and because we do this the way we do it, we have the ability to take kids with 3 days sober, and they do amazing. So no, we're not an inpatient treatment center, but they really get an inpatient-like experience. We can ramp up the structure or pull it back where we need to, depending on where they're at, you know. So 50-50-ish.
Gotcha. That's great. That's great. So let's talk about that person that's on the streets, maybe listening today, may have a parent that's listening today. From a recovery point of view and maybe from your business point of view, what do you say to that person?
Well, I just usually start by having moms tell me about their baby boys, and that's what they talk about. And, you know, they always first tell me how amazing they are, and they're true. It's true. I hadn't had a single bad kid ever show up here ever. And, you know, the first thing that I tell mothers every time, and we genuinely mean it as much as anything in the world, is we say, listen, whether your kid ever comes here or not, I'll be glad to help you through this process. It doesn't cost you a dollar. I know this industry inside and out. I give free advice, and I help countless mothers find places for their sons that never show up here. And that just allows them to understand that we're here for them no matter whether they come here or not. But, you know, what we first do is find out where their kid's at. What's it all about? Every kid is different. But basically, we figured out, you know, we used to be a little more selective on the guys that came here in the beginning. What we've realized as we've become more educated and we've become therapists and we've built our team, we have yet to find a kid that couldn't be helped between 18 and 28. And we have kids that show up here with severe dual diagnosis. You know, because we spend time with these guys, we get to see their behaviors firsthand, literally all day, every day. It's like we become their mothers and fathers in some form. So we're able to watch really closely, you know, what they have going on. But, you know, what I do is I talk to them, see what their situation is, and then we just go forward seeing if we can help. If we can't, if we're the wrong fit, we make sure to coach them and help them with all the referrals we can to programs that we know and trust that we've really truly put our own hands on, you know. So we're just here to be helpful, man. We really are. We try to stay on the karma side of God. And so, you know, it works.
That's great. And your program is a year long. That's
well, it's no. You know, here's it. Most guys stay about a year. But here's the deal with that. You can't make a program a certain amount of time. Every kid's so different. It doesn't work. You know, I always find programs that are saying, well, we're 9 months long. Well, how in the hell does that work? That don't work. You know, yeah, some
that kids, just gives these guys something to buck against.
You know? Yeah, or so, shoot for, you know. Mm-hmm. And so it's like every kid is ready at a different time. And what I tell parents is this. When your son is ready to leave here, you're going to know it. I'm going to know it. His dad's going to know it. His therapist's going to know it. Dana's going to know it. The dog's going to know it. Everybody that has anything to do with this kid is going to be as clear as the writing on the wall. I mean, it really truly just happens in God's time. And it's like the perfect move out situation will happen or a perfect opportunity. And we'll all look at each other one day and go, damn, he's ready to go. This kid can conquer the world. And we let God sort that out. But it's usually between 6 months and 15 months, but it really varies that much. These kids are so different, you know. Some kids show up here 18, and I got to rip them and tell them to brush their damn teeth every morning, you know. Mm-hmm. And some kids show up here that have already been to college. So it's like some have different life experiences. They're so different, but they're close enough in age that those things really don't matter, you know.
Yeah.
And that we're listening to Kevin and Dana, and we're talking about Real Recovery in Asheville, North Carolina. And I know you mentioned you have zero tolerance. And with that zero tolerance, I mean, what happens? What is the relapse plan?
Well, this is something like, well, this has been one of the most brilliant things that we've ever done. And trust me, it ain't because we're brilliant. It's a, yo, we'll yeah. say it's just, but basically it's, we fell, well, ass backwards back into this one. It's sort of like, we really, this happened out of necessity. I mean, it really truly did just by happenstance. And it was, the problem with so many programs is that are zero tolerance. And listen, it has to be zero tolerance because if an addict knows that he's got one chance, baby, we're taking it. End of story. Any real addict, we're going to take it. And I've literally seen one of my roommates at another place die as a direct result of that, as an overdose. So it's like that was so important to us in the beginning. But what happened is we had a kid that came through, and he now works for us, so I can say his name. His name's Andrew, and he was a baby. He was 18 years old. He ended up finishing high school with us. But anyway, he was here for about a week and or less, and he relapsed real quick. And he relapsed – he got hooked up with this guy that should have already been kicked out, but he was kind of – we couldn't kick him out yet. It was a whole thing. But basically, he didn't get a fair shot, I didn't feel like. So it was like, this kid didn't even get a shot at our program, and it just broke me up. So I was like, what are we going to do? And then what I also noticed was when kids would relapse – their mom would call us and we're like, we're sorry, you know, he's got to leave. And they're bawling, crying. You know, that's what we do. We talk to crying moms a lot. And she's saying, what am I supposed to do now? And then I never had an answer because there's so few programs that I actually trust, whether they weren't ready to go back to inpatient, you know, because a lot of places, well, send him back to inpatient. Well, oftentimes that ain't the answer because he just got out of inpatient. You know, that's a waste of time and money. But they do need a shakeup. So it's like, I didn't have an answer because I didn't have a great referral. So finally, Dana and I just kind of looked at each other and we're like, we just need to start taking over. So what I tell parents when they come here is what we ask you is that you be done paying for programs from this point forward. Unless it's us, you don't pay for anything else unless it's a specialized case. If a kid comes here and stays here for 60 days and he relapses out of our program, we ask that the parents let us take over, meaning we have the parents tell those kids we're done, and we give them the strength to make and draw a boundary that they may have otherwise never been able to do before because they know, trust us to take care of their child. So what we do is we refer and put them into another program locally, and we pay for that and put them in another program. We then give that client the opportunity to earn their way back into our program. That way, it allows these parents, to draw this boundary, knowing that we're actually not going to send them out into the street in freezing cold. Because believe me, it's easy to write that prescription, but if you've got babies, it's a whole lot harder to take that medicine. You know, you ask any mom to send their child out into the street when it's snowing outside, even though they may know and have heard from all the professionals that that's the right thing to do, there's a lot of mamas that just can't do that. And it's hard for me to blame him for that because I got a baby boy too, and he's my whole life. And so we had to do something different so they could draw that boundary, but we're still making progress at the same time. So yeah, it's been one of the most amazing things we've ever done. We've had 53 clients that have earned their way back into our program after being kicked out. 46 are still sober today. Unbelievable. So it's like, it's been the most successful thing that we've ever done because for some of these kids, for the first time ever, have been told, no, we're not going to help you. If you need help, you better go talk to your new dad and mom, Dana and Kevin. And they ain't as nice as we are. So they come to us all of a sudden with a whole new look on life. And what it really does, well, our clinical supervisor says it best. When they hear that boundary be drawn for the first time, they instantly, within a matter of minutes, go from being a child to an adult because they have to. Oh my gosh, my parents aren't here to baby me anymore. So it's something basically we ask that parents let us deal with their son's addiction for the rest of their lives until they get it. And what we tell them is if they'll back off and let us do what we do, we never lose. The only time we ever lose is if they come in and bail their kids out before we're done. And sometimes that means they got to leave for 3 months, but we are their contact. And, you know, when they call their parents, I need help. Now you need to call Kevin or Dana. And so we got a lot of kids that we still deal with that hadn't been here in several months, but eventually they get to a teachable place and we're there and ready to make sure they get the help when they want it. But we basically take over their children's addiction for them because they don't have the first damn clue how to do it, you know?
Yeah, that's great. Mm-hmm. That's a service you don't hear about anywhere else.
Right.
You really don't. And as a parent and as someone who knows a little bit about addiction and recovery, that is, a difficult spot for parents, but it's the right place to be.
Well, it is.
And to have two guys like you with the passion for the disease, to kill the disease, and for the kid who's, you know, addicts are great people. Mm-hmm. They're great people. They're severely disabled by a deadly disease, but they're great people. And you get them sober, get them clean, and they turn into guys like you, you know?
We clean up nice.
Well, I don't know that you're clean to
we don't either. No, just kidding.
So typically, where do these patients, children go, kids, friends, whatever, family, after they finish your program?
Yeah, man, you know, that's a great question because that's always an issue. What next? What's the next deal? So, you know, we try to help these kids. I call them all kids. That's just kind of how it is. But we help these guys and their parents through that process, you know. So we can't just be like, listen, he graduated. That's great. These guys are our family, man. I can't express that to you enough. These guys are our little brothers. So we're not just going to say, man, look, you did great. Where are you headed? Good luck. That ain't how this works. It's like your little brother that leaves for college. You know where he's going. You've been to his apartment, all that stuff. We help construct a plan long before they leave. We know where they're going. They're either going to be moving in with other guys that are super solid, usually guys that have graduated a year or two ahead of them. We don't like to move guys out together, you know, guys that have been in the program together. Even if they're solid, a year, both of them, every once in a while, that works, but we make all those decisions based on gut. And the good thing is we're never wrong about anything. So thank goodness we have that ability, right, Dana?
Oh, yeah.
So, no. But when it comes to that part, though, it's really true. We're addicts. We're the most predictable people on the planet. If this, then this. So it ain't hard to look like we're clairvoyant. Parents always ask us, how do y'all read the future? And we're like, oh, we're magical.
We can see a train wreck from a mile away.
Oh, yeah. So it's like, it's clear what they're supposed to do next. A lot of guys end up in college. You know, in this economy, you got to have an education. And a bachelor's degree don't even cut it anymore. So the idea for most of these guys were huge education advocates. Let's get them going towards something that's going to be worth something. So most of these guys are in school. We provide tutors for these guys. We've never had a flunk out since we started this thing. Not one kid's ever failed a class. So we get them going towards school. So most of these guys continue college. They move into an apartment or a house, usually with a guy that's been 2 or 3 years sober, an alumni of ours that's still around. 90% of these kids stay in Asheville. It's an amazing city with a huge recovery community. And we're there, and we're sort of the hub for young people's recovery in Asheville. So they don't want to leave. It's an amazing place to be. After college, a lot of these guys venture off into doing different things and having families and all that stuff. But most of these guys stay in Asheville. They start sponsoring guys. We always have alumni walking in and out of our house literally all day. Some people really say that, and it's not true. You go into our house any day, and there'll be 10 of those fools packed up on the sofa watching sports in the weekend or throwing cornell out front, eating food. I mean, they're always around, which really provides such an awesome experience for these younger dudes that are coming in. So there's always a good place for these guys to move into, but we help them through that whole process, you know?
That's great. So tell me again, how can people get more information about your business?
Yeah, man. You know, well, www.myrealrecovery.com. Or you can call my cell phone number, 828-989-1967.
Get that down.
Yeah. Wow. Most, you know, every call that gets fielded comes right to my cell phone. There's a 1-888 number. That's hard to say, 1-888 number that's on the website that comes right to my cell phone. We're not fancy, man. That's just to make us look fancy. But it really comes right to my
cell. We don't have a call center.
No call center.
That is the call center.
I am the call center. Ask my girlfriend. She'll tell you. You know,
Fiance.
Oh, so thank you.
Sorry, honey.
Yeah. But it's a tough thing, man. But you know what? I'm yet to be able to relinquish. I don't know that it's control. But it's just, this is such a personal thing for us, man, is I want to talk to every single mama that calls, and I want to know exactly what the scoop is. And, you know, after their kids come here, Dana and I both, but Dana handles all moms and dads after these kids come here. You know, one major beef of a lot of parents have with other programs is they send their kid there and they never hear a damn thing about them. And then they end up getting kicked out and they hear that they've been doing horrible all this time. They're like, I didn't even know. Dana calls every single mother or father that we have at least once a week, if not twice a week. And we don't placate for them. We are a united front. Any text message that goes from kid to mom comes straight to us. We know everything that's going on. So none of this manipulation triangle stuff that goes on, we shut every single piece of that down. So me and Dana and mom and dad are united front. There ain't no escapes, man. We've been there, done everything. So we know these guys.
Master manipulators.
Oh, yeah. They know us. And we know these kids inside and out. So every time they try to make a move, we're right there to shut it off. But we keep our parents connected, man. They know what goes on with their babies, you know. And that's important.
I joked about, you know, the phone number thing. And one of the last question that I want to ask, and one thing that, you know, we've talked about is, you know, these guys between 18 and 28, you know, they get the peer acceptance from the men in the house, you know, but
sure.
What about the females? You know, can they date? Or, you know, what about, you know, finding a partner? I mean, how does that work with you guys?
What a huge thing to tackle, because listen, you know, so many places, and this is why we are Real Recovery. We make decisions based on common sense, man. We make decisions based on our true experiences. You tell an 18-year-old kid that goes to a meeting and meets a cute girl with the same amount of clean time, and she tells him how amazing and cute and wonderful he is, and you tell that and tells him she loves him, and you tell that kid, you quit seeing that girl or we're going to kick you out. Let me tell you what, you'll get your answer with his taillights peeling down the driveway every single time. It's the most powerful thing on earth. Love, it is. Infatuation, it's going to happen with these guys. So us being so close with these guys, if they're going to date, they have. That's going to happen. How are you going to not teach these kids how to have sober relationships, man? You're just going to ignore it and say, don't do it. Do you know the hell we're dealing with? We're dealing with drug addicts. These kids don't follow the rules. So you can't treat these kids that way. You'll lose every single time. So if we kick them out for that, we know they're probably going to relapse, and there's a good chance they're going to die. So we don't do that. But what we do do.
You said do.
Thank you. what we do is we teach them how to do that. Now, we're never going to let these kids date a girl that's high or whatever. Period. We drug to if girls are going to come over to our house and be a part of their lives, we're going to make sure they're sober. That goes as far as drug testing them. Nobody gets around our boys. It's high. Period. We protect our boys like a mama tiger would. End of story. We protect our babies with our lives. Truly, that's what we do. But if they're sober, if they're good girls, if they're trying to do this, we're going to help coach them. We'll do counseling with them both. We have to teach them basically what our ultimate goal is. Is that when it falls apart and blows up in their faces, which it 99% of the time does, hopefully we've provided a loving, structured environment with the help of the 12 steps that gives them enough strength that they don't have to get high over it. It's one of those deals where you've got to hold on loosely, but don't let go. You can't grip too tight. You'll lose control. You know what I mean? That's a throwback to the 80s.
Oh!
Thank you. But it's true. It's so true. These guys have to be able to be themselves, man. You have to teach them. This is really what sums up Real Recovery. And then I'll get off the rant. No, I won't. But it's you have to teach these guys how to live a life sober, right? But what you really have to do is teach this age group how to live a life that they're going to be willing to live sober. And young guys are going to chase girls. They're going to go out and see bands play till 2 in the morning. They're going to go snowboarding out west. They're going to go to the beach. So we have to do all that stuff with them and coach them through the process. Anybody can keep an addict sober if you lock them in a cage, but very few can teach them how to live outside the cage. And that's what we do.
And that's what's required.
That's it.
They got to go out in the real world soon, and they need to know how to live there. Mm-hmm. Sounds like you guys really put them in a corner, make them look at the truth, make a decision, and then teach them how to live sober.
That's it, man.
There's a couple things you guys said, including you, Kelly, that really stuck out to me today. And finding a place that cares about you, critically important. Sounds like Real Recovery definitely offers that. And then loving your sober life or loving your life, period. Today's day and age is so full of stress and cell phones and text messages and emails. It's easy to lose sight.
Sure.
You guys still have focus on doing what you do best, and that's loving life and then showing other people how to love their life. That's impressive.
Thank you.
And then I like what you said for my business, and we don't always operate like this. We try to, but you make no decisions based on money. That's an admirable thing to do, and it's something that anyone in business can do, and it goes right to the next point of being on the karma side of God. Mm-hmm. Good deed, good will pays forward, and there's no question about it. And that's our business. That's our marketing strategy at Confirmatrix. So it's good to hear that working for you.
Well,
guys.
It's easy to see that you guys do that. You know, with the equipment that you guys use, you know, you could go cheaper. You could do things that aren't right. You know, you could do things to just get by and keep your bottom line lower. But you make decisions to pay that stuff forward so that you're ready to make sure that these are as accurate as they possibly can be. And it's such an oxymoron. You know, you go into business to make money. Sure you do. But if you focus on the money, you don't get no money. It's so crazy. If you focus on the passion and doing what you're supposed to do and you love what you do, you'll have all the money you need. Maybe not all you want, but all that you need, man.
Good point. Good point. Well, it's been a pleasure talking with you guys today. Once again, from Confirmatrix side, we really appreciate you showing up on the radio show today and sharing about your businesses and doing business with you guys, and looking forward to getting to know you better. Cool, Tracy, man. Thank you for today. I'll let you wrap it up.
All right, I'll wrap it up. We have Kelly Muzell here. He's the president of GAR and also with One Stop Court Intervention Services. And then we have the hilarious Dana and Kevin, and they're with Real Recovery, and they're in Asheville, North Carolina. You can learn more about them and their program at myrealrecovery.com. And you've been listening to Testing the Experts, presented by Confirmatrix Laboratory. Remember that our show airs live every Friday at 1 o'clock on Business Radio X. If you miss our live broadcast, you can listen to any of our shows anytime 24/7 by visiting testingtheexperts.businessradiox.com. For my co-host Wes Warrington, I'm Tracy McDaniel, and this has been Testing the Experts, where we're rapid, accurate, rapid, and consistent.